Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Jans, co-founder with Lucas Jans of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers, and discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. And with that introduction, I'm embarrassed to say, now that I set the guest up as a genius, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say I'm the guest. And here's why. A couple of reasons. Number one is because as our podcast series has grown over this past year, agents and brokers have asked me questions, generally emailing me, which you are welcome to do, at michael@agencyrevolution.com. I can promise you I will read it. I can't always promise that I can respond individually. I just get way too many. Or on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. A lot of people are communicating, using that as a platform these days, which is fine. I'm relatively active on LinkedIn, so would love to hear your questions. The other reason that I'm turning the tables and letting you ask the questions and I'm the guest is because, as I said, a very practical reason. I have just recently, this week, moved our studio from Bend, Oregon, beautiful Bend, Oregon, to beautiful Cave Creek, Arizona, in the Casita. So I don't have a landline yet. And it'll be a week or two before I get one, so I can't have any outside guests unless they're actually going to come to the Casita in Cave Creek. So, without further ado, I will mention or remind you that I like to hear from our listeners, and I have two favors to ask of you. Number one is that if you know of somebody in the industry who has something important to say, share that with me. And if they're an appropriate guest, I'll reach out to them. And number two, if you get value from this conversation, would you be nice enough to let me know, maybe say something on LinkedIn, or share it with your own audience or share it with your own tribe or friends? So without further ado, I'm going to take your questions. I have a list of 10. I don't think I'm going to get to all of them, but I'm going to get through some of them and then bring it to a close. So also, moving forward, I think if somebody asks the question, I think you should get full credit for the question, unless you ask to be anonymous, which is perfectly fine. I never made that clear because this hasn't been a formal part of our relationship in the past, so I'm going to keep names anonymous today, but in the future, not anymore, unless you ask me to, and then I will. So, but I can identify the state from which the question came. The first question comes from California. It's a biggie. And by the way, I have questions about personal lines, I have questions about commercial lines, and of course, I have questions about marketing. So, this question comes from California. Like I said, it's a biggie. It is Michael. Where should I invest my resources in marketing and organic growth? Well, that is an impossible question for me to answer for your agency, but I'll tell you the approach that I would take to answer that question. It's just too broad. The issues that you're facing and the opportunities that you have, the level of marketing maturity that you have, your own particular marketplace, these things are variables. And so it's not only quite possible, it's almost certain that exactly what you should be doing is different than what the agency down the street or what the agency in a different niche or in a different state should be doing. But this is how I would approach it. First of all, annually, I conduct a Michael Porter Five Forces analysis on the industry. I have made that available online. I have delivered webinars about that. I generally include some of that in any keynote speeches that I deliver. And I know if you go to the Agency Revolution SlideShare account, you'll find a webinar from me on the state of the industry in which I cover that. So that's always where I start. The conclusion that I make from that analysis is that one way to look at marketing in our space is that we're not in the same business as the other channels. You're in the same business as your direct competitors, but you're not in the same business. You don't have the same business model, and hopefully you don't have the same market that you're attempting to cultivate a relationship with as Geico or as Progressive Direct. Yes, clearly there is some overlap, but there is a market that is that will reward the independent agent richly if we know how to reach out to them. So I start with that analysis. And essentially, to bottom line that, not quite to do it justice, but to bottom line that, you don't want the high churn price shopper. They are probably not only top line killers, but clearly bottom line killers. The market, regardless of whether you're selling personal lines or commercial lines or you've got some nifty niche, ideally, you're looking for that market that has some assets and values those assets. They have a home or a business or automobiles and a family. They're relatively well established, and from a psychographic point of view, they care about what insurance does. They don't just care about how cheap insurance is. And there is a dramatic difference between the two, and I think I'll get into a little more detail on that in one of the other questions. So number one, focus always generates more income than lack of focus. So step number after the analysis is focus, focus, focus. And in addition to that sort of high-level industry analysis, then I would move into a SWOT analysis of your agency itself. So in other words, we'd take a look at what are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and what do they suggest in order in terms of the direction where you will, one, protect yourself from threats, but two, really be able to build on your strengths so that you can optimize the opportunities. When we look at the industry from a strategic perspective, we will probably come to the same conclusion that Bain & Company did just a couple of years ago when they published a very well-researched report on customer loyalty and property and casualty. And what they discovered was that in our channel, not the other channels, in our channel, the money is in the relationship. The big money is in creating the loyal customer. Because, and how much more? You may have heard me say this, not 7% more, not 70% more, 700%. There's seven times more lifetime value in a loyal customer than in a low loyalty customer. There's three times the value in a highly loyal customer than a neutral customer. So, I'm gonna now answer your question with what I call the conveyor belt metaphor, which is this. Imagine that you walk into the insurance factory, and in the insurance factory, there's a conveyor belt. And at the beginning of the conveyor belt, you're putting widgets. They're like, those are your leads. And ideally, you put leads on that conveyor belt. And of course, every lead costs you money. There's no way to get around the fact that the front end of the marketing process is the most expensive end of the marketing process. So you're putting leads on. You think of that as your raw material. Now, what are you trying to achieve at the end of the conveyor belt? Ultimately, ideally, you're trying to achieve the perfect customer. Now, we all may have a slightly different definition of what a perfect customer is, but it's a fair question. And it's a question I'm going to ask you to think about for a while. What is your perfect customer, and what is the process that takes that raw material and helps transform them into a perfect customer? Well, in Bain's research, here's what they found out about the perfect customer. The loyal customer who scores a 9 or a 10 on a net promoter score, here's what they found out about them. They have a 97% retention rate. They consolidate almost all their insurance, like 88% of all their insurance they buy from one source. They generate 2.5 referrals. They buy 25% more insurance. So if you can see how valuable they are, okay? And by the way, if you want to have a robust conversation about this, I can do the math for you in terms of how much more valuable they are and exactly how what the formula is that arrives at that. So now think about... I'm going to ask you to think right now about what is your perfect customer, commercial lines, personal lines, whatever, okay? Maybe it is somebody who, on average, has a 97% retention, so they're likely to stay with you until they move or die. They are willing to buy almost all their insurance from you. They're going to give you referrals, and when those referrals come, the referred party is going to be predisposed to do business with you. And so maybe they've got not 1.7 policies, but they've got 3.2 policies, whatever it is. That's your insurance factory with a conveyor belt inside of it. Now, what I see happening is far too many agencies and brokerages are throwing raw material in the beginning of the conveyor belt, and they're not getting to the end. They're falling off because the retention is not 97%, so they fall off too early. They fall off with one or 1.5 policies, and they never get to that point where they deliver the highest possible customer lifetime value, which, by the way, is a number that you should be paying attention to, watching, monitoring, and frankly, obsessing over. So in response to your question, where should you be focusing your resources? Clearly, startup agencies, really small agencies, newer agencies, they may need to focus more on the front end, the attract part of the marketing formula. But anybody with a decent-sized book of business probably has so much opportunity in their existing acre of diamonds that they can just stay there for years. Now, here's sort of one of the interesting bonuses in doing that. Loyal customers do deliver referrals. And so your conveyor belt gets automatically loaded. When you get somebody to the end of the conveyor belt, they're going to put 2.5 people on the front of the conveyor belt. And Bain's research into the psychology of those people was fascinating, because somebody who is referred by another customer, by a loyal customer, comes pre-baked, loyal, already. So, in answer to your question, the money is in the relationship. All right. That's question number one. Question number two comes from New York. Are commercial lines producers already stay in touch with their customers? Do they really need to use all this digital media to communicate when they're doing it already? All right. That's a fair question, and I've heard it 1,000 times. Where... somebody might be thinking, well, gosh, golly, I pay my producers, you know, whatever, 40% to get a new customer, 20% to keep them. That's kind of expensive. You're not telling me that I have to do more above and beyond that, are you? And I think that is penny wise, pound foolish. So I'm gonna break this answer into two different chunks, and I'm doing this for the commercial lines guys. The way I look at the old school commercial lines producers is that way too many of them are functioning like door-to-door salespeople. It's like, they're the fuller brush salesperson of the insurance industry. This is probably the most expensive resource we have in agencies, and we want them to go knocking on doors, creating their own leads. I'm not saying that they never should do that, but I am clearly saying that you can accelerate your growth by having a lead generation program that creates people who are pre-interested, pre-motivated, and virtually pre-sold to do business with you. By the way, as a side note, current project I'm working on for a regional carrier causes me to say, this is the same problem. You're not the only ones that are guilty of this. Carriers many carriers are guilty of the same problem, thinking that if they want more growth, they need to hire more marketing reps, or as agencies, they need to hire more producers. Clearly, there's some value in that. Or just get better reps, as opposed to supplementing and supporting them with marketing that that generates leads, but not just leads who are already pre-interested, pre-motivated, and pre-sold. And so the answer to that is to sum it up in a very simple term, you need a lead gen magnet, a lead generation magnet, something that positions your agency or a series of communications that position your agency, your brokerage in the marketplace in such a manner where people develop trust for you before they pick up the phone and call you, or before you pick up the phone and call them, where they not only know you, but they like you, and maybe they trust you, and maybe they even admire you. And generally, marketers call that a top-of-the-funnel lead gen magnet that answers a very common series of questions or solves a very common problem with information. It has very little to do with you. It has very much to do with them. So the answer is, in the ideal world, your job is to deliver a constant stream of value, to automate that as much as possible, which is why I'm obviously a strong advocate of technology. So you do it once, and then the systems are in place to continue to deliver that. In today's world, the internet has opened up doors for all of us to be publishers. We're all now, the common barriers to publishing are gone. For a lot of us, when we entered into the marketing industry, the first media that we had to use were not our own media. We had to go to magazines or the Yellow Pages, and we had to rely on other media. Now we're in control. We are communicators. We are publishers, and we can deliver a constant stream of value to the marketplace. And excuse me. And we get to do it in a non-threatening medium, like SEO, like search engine optimization. So they visit your website. So if they have a problem, generally they'll do a search on Google. And if you are a source for solutions to that problem, they go to you. So there's search, there's email, there's social media. So now we can enter into their life in a non-threatening way, but deliver information that positions our expertise, positions our authority, and allows us to give before we even try to get. I do want to refer everybody, when you get an opportunity, if you haven't listened to my interview with Chuck Blondino, and admittedly, this is he's representing a personal lines perspective because he's from Safeco, but the principle is exactly the same. They analyzed their top performers and compared their behaviors to their average performers. And when I say top performers, for the large, medium to large agents or the larger agencies, they were growing at a clip of about 26% a year. For the smaller agencies, they're growing, their top performers were growing at a clip, I think it was 83%. Well, what was the difference in their behavior? They largely, they communicated more with the marketplace. So the question is about commercial lines producers and whether or not they really do need to do digital marketing or whether or not the agency needs to support them. Well, I would say if you want to grow, yes. So I address the on the acquisition side, yes, you need lead gen magnets that solve top-level problems. Now let's talk about the other part, retention. And the objection there is, well, gosh, we already are there. My producers visit all of their better clients four times a year. If there's a claim, man, they're on the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to be there first thing in the morning with donuts. Okay, so that's four times a year. A year has 365 days. Take away four. Gosh, you think you're there? I just counted 361 days where you're not there, and you can be there again in a non-threatening environment by delivering an ongoing stream of value through digital media. Insurance is invisible, but you don't have to be. Experts do make more money, that's actually not entirely true. When people perceive you're an expert, you make more money. So my quick answer to that question is yes. There are very rich applications of digital marketing and content marketing on the commercial line side. By the way, I'll take an aside and share with you that I am putting some of the finishing touches on my next book, which I will make available to you for free. Working title is The New Content Marketing for Insurance Agents and Brokers. And the only reason it's not done is because of this dramatic move from beautiful Bend, Oregon to the Casita and Cave Creek. All right, next question comes from Pennsylvania. A lot of people seem to be talking about the demise of personal lines in the independent agency sector. Michael, what's your opinion on this? This is an interesting question, and I am going to give you my frankest possible response. I'll share with you, that I've been in the industry for a long time. I have a lot of friends in the industry, and I don't always agree with what they have to say. And there's a tendency, I think it's confirmation bias. It's a case of confirmation bias where people have an opinion and then they look for the evidence to support that opinion. From time to time, somebody calls for the demise of the independent agency system or the demise of personal lines or something like that. And it's for some of the advocates of the industry, I think sometimes it's just too terrible to think that there's an element of truth in it. And so they look for every reason not to believe that it's true. And that's, it's not so much dishonesty. I think it is really just a matter of confirmation bias. But I think we are best served when we are as honest with ourselves as possible and we tell the truth as much as possible. So I will dive into this question. The fact is that this is an industry that's been around for a long time, and it's been a safe harbor for a very long time, 150 years, where agencies could be passed on generation to generation. Behaviors could be largely the same. It's clearly some incremental changes, obviously, to the industry, new technologies, some of it transformative, but we're really in the big leagues right now. I think that the insurance industry as a lifestyle business, where you simply need to do your job and maybe do it, if you're just a little bit better than average, you're really going to do fine. I think it's probably a dangerous attitude right now. My sense of what's happening in the industry right now is we are entering into a turbulent period. As some of you know, I'm a co-author of the InsurTech book published by Wiley. And I've had my finger on the pulse of what's happening in that part of the industry. There are threats, and there are waves being made. And when there are periods of turbulence, the water doesn't move smoothly, and it can be very difficult to predict exactly what's going to happen. And so let me break this question into two chunks as well. Chunk number one is that I think one of the reasons that a lot of people think, including some guests of this podcast who I have disagreed with publicly and privately, that some feel that we need to cede personal lines, give it up to the other channels, because the industry has changed in such a manner that you just can't be in a decent relationship with as many customers as you've got. So, that old notion, there's one of the ways that I look at the traditional independent insurance agent is that they were sort of like a private sector mayor in the neighborhood or in a commercial niche, and they knew the players and they connected the players, and they were great at, showing up at the meetings and the clubs and shaking hands and so on and so forth. Well, now a couple of things have happened. Number one, agencies have grown. So now we have the average agency, thousands and thousands of customers. And there's also been growing pressure on commissions. And so the resources are not there. It's for you to be in touch with thousands and thousands and to even pretend that when you go to the grocery store, you're going to know who your customers are and who your customers aren't in most cases. Several years ago, it seems that it's 5, 6, 7 years ago, McKinsey and Company came out with a report that created quite the kerfuffle in the independent agency sector, where they said that and this is a rough quote, the economics of the independent agency system are unraveling. And I think this is what they were referring to, is that Bob the agent doesn't know 3,000 of his customers. And so that idea that, where the consumer is thinking, I've got somebody in my camp, that's gone. And other statistics seem to bear that out. Research by Ernst Young, EY, has indicated that, as I recall, 86 or 88% of insurance consumers are not very satisfied with the communications from their provider. 44% do not recall any communications from their provider in the last 6 months. And so it seems to bear that out. However, this is one of the reasons that Lucas and I founded Agency Revolution. Now, with contemporary technologies, you can be in communication with your customers. You can deliver an ongoing stream of value to them throughout the year. You can automatically reach out to them when they're a new lead or when they're a new customer, when they have an open claim or when they're approaching their renewal, or if you want to on their birthday. You can untap all that rich data that's in the agency management system and use it for the purposes of communication. So the first answer to the question is yes. You can be in relationship with your customers, and in fact, you need to be in relationship with your customers. All right. Now, the second chunk is what about InsurTech and the Internet of Things, including driverless cars? Again, when in periods of turbulence, predicting the future is a bit of a fool's game, but I think one thing we can clearly say is that the future has uncertainties, and the future does have some landmines in it. It was the CEO of Blockbuster, Jim Keys, in 2008, who said that Netflix was not even on their radar in terms of competition. Of course, Netflix pretty much came to dominate that industry, transform the industry, and Blockbuster. About a year later, Blockbuster went bankrupt. And so my advice is I believe that today's agent needs to be smarter. I think it is important. I think you need, excuse me, I think you need to read more. I think you need to pay more attention. I think you need to attend the conferences and conventions. I would encourage you to participate in a mastermind group. Agency Revolution has one. There are several of them in the industry where you can stay current on the trends and have peers who can share with you what's working and what's not so you can execute as quickly as possible. So, yes, be vigilant, act with urgency, and clearly invest with growth. If you are a personal lines agency only, do you need to diversify? I can't say that yet, but I do think you should probably be considering what will you do if the driverless car technology accelerates quicker than you think it will. There's some people who think, gosh, it's not going to happen that fast. But, you know, there's certain technologies where it has happened that fast. Generally speaking, when new technologies are introduced, if the market hits 20%, at the point that the market hits 20% saturation, the linear curve becomes a bell curve and it shoots up very, very quickly. So in response to that whole personal lines morass, number one, you've got to be in a relationship. And number two, I think, as any business owner, you should be vigilant, you should act with urgency, and you should invest in your growth. Next question comes from New Jersey. Ah, yes. My CSRs are constantly telling me that they can't close deals because we're too expensive, or that they end up putting clients in the lowest class of protection because they insist on, I'm assuming, because they insist on price. Help! All right. So let's break this into a few chunks. First of all, price shoppers are, as I said earlier, they're top-line killers and they're bottom-line killers. So either your marketing is attracting the wrong kind of prospect. That's bad. This is why I'm a strong advocate that, you know, ideally, you're in charge of your own lead generation activities. And I'm not discounting the possibility or the perhaps probability that as part of your overall program, you may need to be purchasing leads, but ultimately the best lead is somebody who's reaching out to you because they like you, because they trust you, because they admire you and want to do business with you. So either you're attracting the wrong kind of people, or it's very possible that the CSRs are simply entering into the wrong conversation. CSRs are obviously, critical to an agency, the backbone of many agencies. And unfortunately, it seems that a lot of agency principals feel like once they've invested in licensing, if they took care of that, and the annual CE, and training them and the internal systems, that's enough. And from a growth perspective, that's the ticket that gets you into the ball game. I mean, that's just the beginning. If one of their jobs is, let's go back to the conveyor belt, okay, to take that guy and put him up on the top of at the beginning of the conveyor belt, and take them from, in the attract, convert, optimize, retain marketing model, the ACOR marketing model, if their job is to take that person who for some reason had been attracted, jumped on the conveyor belt, and perform the C function, convert them, then just like anybody else, they need coaching, mentoring, monitoring, scripting so that they excel at that. So, this reminds me of a story from many years ago. My good friend and client, Sean Irwin, said, after some years, I finally get it. And I said, Sean, what's that? He said, I have a sales meeting with my producers every single week. I go on calls with my producers, two or three times a week. I'm monitoring what they're doing. I'm monitoring their performance and their behaviors and meeting with them one-on-one. But the bulk of my business, the most of the income, is handled by my CSRs. And so, boom, he realized that, as do more and more agencies, that CSRs are a critical part of the growth system, of the marketing system in an agency, and they need to be supported. So I'll give you a couple of suggestions, okay? One of our clients, Mike Matheson, runs one of the fastest growing personal lines agencies in North America. I don't think he's been a guest on the podcast yet, but I'll get him. But he's been a speaker at a lot of Agency Revolution events. Years after his staff was trained, he still requires everybody to use this conversation I'm going to share with you right now. Somebody calls, okay, prospect calls, and they think they're in control of the conversation. They have now been brainwashed with some form of drip water torture, which has made them think price is the only thing that matters. And that insurance is a commodity and it's all the same. And we know that that's not true. Not only are policies different, but you are different and the service that you deliver is different. So somebody calls in, they're thinking, and so the usual line, this is like the universal pickup line. How do I pick up an agency? Well, here's one that works. Can I have a quote for my blankety blank insurance? Well, that means that they've just sort of opened up the door for you to go down the quote conversation. Well, if you want them going down the quote conversation, that's fine, but it's probably a really bad idea. You want to open a different door, and you want to get them to think a little more deeply, and this will be a filter. You'll discover very quickly, is this somebody that you want as a customer in your agency or not? Not every apple is a good apple. So you don't need to bring those top line, bottom line killers in. So prospect says, can I have a quote for my blankety blank? CSR then responds by saying, may I ask you a question? Well, sure. Okay, here's the question. Can I ask what's most important to you? Price, protection, or service? Boom. Now, all of a sudden, by asking a question, students of psychology will know that when you ask a question, you cause the other person to create some internal representation. And now you've completely changed the nature of the conversation, and you're asking them in full respect. You're not telling them. You're asking them. And now they will arrive at the answer and share the answer. Well, if somebody's thinking, oh, price, protection, or service, they may say, well, you know, of course, price is really important, but why are they calling you? Well, number one, it's the service that I got from the last agency was really lousy. So, yes, service really matters. Or protection. What do you mean by that? Oh, well, let me talk to you about that. You have family or, you know, tell me about, you know, the house or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, we engage in an entirely different conversation. So we've got to change the conversation. Second suggestion that I will give you is that from a sales point of view, I think that CSR should always offer, when they offer an option, they should offer two, an A or a B, or what you might think is a basic or a deluxe. And when that is delivered, If I were you, I would take the deluxe. I understand that budget may be a concern or a consideration, but you had mentioned that protecting your assets at the beginning of the call, you mentioned that that was really important. So from that point of view, I would say I really want to encourage you to take the deluxe or package B, because that's going to give you this much more protection. All right. And by the way, a couple of years ago, I keynoted a presentation for the Agents Council for Technology, which I suggest all agents should participate in and support, and reach out to Ron Berg and ask how you can help. And after my keynote, my friend Brady Polanski gave some research, which I have shared with his permission, and I always want to give him credit for this. Their research at EasyLinks had indicated that, I think it was about, was it 53 or 57% of consumers don't take the first cheapest quote. And this is industry wide. This isn't with training or with strategy. It's just the way folks are. There was, I think it was 57% take the second, third, fourth, or fifth quote. And the average second quote was 19% higher than the first. And I think the fifth quote was like 53% higher. So if you take nothing else out of this conversation, take that one out. That one's worth a lot of money to you. All right. Next question. I recently saw you speak about the four kinds of money. Can you elaborate on that? All right. I'm pretty sure. That's from Utah. I had the privilege of addressing a very high quality group of agencies in Utah a week or two ago, Risk Pro Net members. And so I think I understand the question, understand where it's coming from. So yes, I can talk about the four kinds of money really quickly. First of all, a quick review of the ACOR marketing model. Essentially, the ACOR model identifies four stages in the insurance marketing process. A-C-O-R. A stands for attract. So that's the stage in which we attract people into our marketing funnel, or where we attract them to jump on top of our conveyor belt, at the very beginning of the conveyor belt. Now, why do we want leads? Because we want to convert them, that's the C, into customers. So step number two is converting the lead into a customer. Step number three is then transforming that customer, making the relationship richer and deeper, and turning them into a client, generally by offering and selling them more policies per customer. And then the R, what do we want? We want to retain that customer as long as possible, so we add an ongoing stream of value so they never want to leave. It creates an unbreakable bond. So let's take that model, ACOR, and look at the four kinds of money. The first kind of money is the kind of money you get from attract, from the A part of the model, and that's future money. You don't get any now. That's future. That represents future money, which is good. So if you get 100 leads and you convert 50% of them, then you get future money from half of them. Now, when you do convert them, stage two, that's new money. You got new money. Now, in this industry, not too many people operate on new money. It's the beauty of the industry is that magical annuity of the ongoing retention. And so we get a little bit of money this year from new customers. Now, when we optimize and retain customers and begin to cultivate their loyalty, that's reliable money. But ultimately, what are we shooting for as owners? Or producers who are vested in their book of business, wealth and equity. And that comes from the R stage. Stage number four, we retain them. When you sell it, what are you selling? You're selling your book of business. So those are the four kinds of money, and each one corresponds to each of the four stages in the marketing model. Now, the fascinating part of this, or the valuable part of this, is to look at it from an expense and an ROI, you know, a return perspective. So Every serious marketer knows the most expensive part of the whole model is at the beginning. Getting new customers is always more expensive than retaining customers. Most research says it's like a 5-to-1 ratio. Keeping a customer costs about 20% of what it costs to get a new customer. So you've got a lot of expense at the front end and not that much expense at the back end, which is the end that most people ignore, which is why most agencies don't have a 97% retention ratio. But then look at the flip side. Where do you get the most value? Well, in fact, you get no real value today from leads. You begin to get value from the conversion, but then you start to really create value when you optimize and retain the customers. And so in terms of strategic approach to marketing investment and the best ROI, it's at the back end of the marketing funnel. It's at the O and the R in those stages. So thank you for that question. And I think I'll take, I'll probably do one or two more questions. Okay, this is one I've heard before. maybe I'm an old school producer, but I've always felt that the best way to communicate with people is to do it in person or on the phone. Now everyone, including you, Michael, is saying digital, digital, digital. Is it time for me to throw in the towel? And this question comes from Toronto, up in Canada. All right. I sometimes respond to this one with what I call the story of the ill-equipped contractor. You may have deemed from this conversation that Teresa and I have moved from beautiful Bend to Cape Creek, Arizona. Teresa, being the chef that she is, wants to completely remodel the kitchen. And so you can imagine that we hire a contractor and he says to us, man, I love what you're going to do to the kitchen. I really, I love chefs and, you know, that whole experience. I think it's really the heart of the home, et cetera, et cetera. But there is one thing. I don't like to use tools. Well, obviously, that guy's not going to get the job, or if I made the mistake of hiring him, he's not going to be able to keep the job. He has a toolkit. A contractor needs to have a toolkit that lets him get the job done. Folks, we do too. Business has always relied on tools because tools leverage our capability. In other words, they allow us to put in one unit of effort and get 10 units of results, as opposed to without tools, one unit of effort creates one unit of results. So, folks, business is tools. And by the way, I have recently written, which is available for free, the Digital Marketing Toolkit. Agency Revolution's publishing it. It may be available now. If it's not, will be soon. Yeah, you should read it. It's short. It's an overview on the tools, the digital tools that are available to agencies and brokerages today. And I break those tools so you can imagine them. Here's the metaphor I'm using, is you've got a toolkit, and it's a big toolkit, and you've got three trays of tools. So I break it into, just for simplicity, I like to break it into three trays of tools or buckets of tools. You've got your website and all the tools associated with that. You've got your social media and all the tools associated with that. And you've got your marketing automation, your email marketing, all the tools associated with that. I think it's, you could turn the clock back a few generations and you can imagine, the close to retirement agency principal saying to his son, customers don't want to talk to us on the phone. They want to see you face to face, son. And so, folks, in fact, you know, the phone was a newfangled technology. But a lot of producers learned how to use it and learned how to make a lot of money using it. It's a tool that allows you to amplify your effort. So I think, this isn't a question of what you've done in the past. Jack Welch, when he was CEO of GE, often then considered to be the best CEO of his time, said roughly said when the pace of change in the outside world is faster than it's happening in your company, the end is near. And so, yeah, the pace of change out there is happening really fast. And so let's just set aside what you've done in the past. I don't think it's a question of what you did in the past. I don't think it's really even a question of the tools themselves. I think it's a question of whether or not you're willing to learn and adapt. My premise, if you don't love to learn, you really don't love life, because you know what keeps life fresh and alive and keeps you current is a passion to learn. Very clearly, like Darwin said, it's not the biggest and the strongest that survive. It's those that are most willing and able to adapt. And so this is an opportunity to learn. So I think it's important we set aside our prejudices about things that we don't like, and reignite our passion to learn. And if you need guidance, I'm certain Agency Revolution can provide some help for you. But it doesn't take long. One step at a time. Master a few of the technologies that are going to work for you. By the way, Lucas, particularly. Designed, especially the latest iteration of Agency Revolution's Connect product, ease of use was one of the most important criteria. So I think a lot of people would be surprised how easy it is to use some of the modern technologies with just a little bit of training. So there you go. All right. I do have one last question. I like this one, and so it's a short one. If you were going to recommend one and only one marketing technique for insurance agents to grow, what would it be? Here's how I'm going to answer that question. The word technique is one that, concerns me a little bit. Technique is like the ultimate tactical response. And I'm always concerned that tactical responses aren't approached with clear strategic directive. And I'm saying that as the former bad boy of the insurance industry who taught more tricks probably than any marketing tricks than anybody alive, some of which in retrospect embarrass me. They worked when they had a real clear strategic directive. And the strategic directive that I'm sharing with you is that the money's in the relationship. Chester Karas, he was the founder of Karas Negotiating, the negotiating system. He used to have a great tagline, and they advertised. Back in the day, they advertised in the airline magazines. I haven't seen them lately, but I know they're still around. And essentially it was, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate. And that is absolutely, completely true if you're in the business where you're doing big, complex deals that require negotiations. For those of us that are in a business where we're reaching out to the multitudes, personal lines or commercial lines, my twist on it is a little bit different. You don't get what you deserve, you get what you market. And by, you know, what you deserve, you may be thinking, well, I really am the best educated, most astute agent in my niche or in my community. I represent the best carriers. And frankly, that's not enough. They need to know that. You need to be able to communicate that. And so I'm gonna wind this one up with a couple of things. All right. I've done a number of podcasts with guests who provide very practical response. And so off the top of my head, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to them. The interviews that I did with Dale Steinke at Safeco, first class, Brett Pierce, Travelers, first class, Ryan Hanley, TrustedChoice.com, first class, Jeremiah Damaris, first class, Brad Allen at the Hartford, first class, Brian Appleton, first class. Go listen to those. They're full of technique. My only caveat is never lose sight of the essential strategy, which is going to guide you to closer, deeper, more rewarding relationships with your marketplace. And I will end with a couple of things that I very recently did what I thought was a super fun and really rich in value conversation with Dave Christensen from FMG Suites and Agency Revolution. And I think this is the essence of what he and I have in common and what we really stand for is that if you're going to recommend one and only one marketing technique, it was to market so well that people thank you for your marketing. That they thank you for your marketing. That they read, see, hear what you have to say or to deliver, and they feel gratitude because you've delivered so much to them, which gets to my final words for the day, which is the beginning marketer asks, how much can I get? The advanced marketer knows that the real question is, how much can I give? How can I give an ongoing stream of value? All righty. That being said, send me your questions. I'll do this from time to time throughout the year. Send me your questions. I will give you the best answers that I possibly can. So reach out to me at michael@agencyrevolution.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn. Follow me. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Let's be friends. And if you got value from this conversation, if you'd be kind enough to share that with me on LinkedIn, or say something, make a comment, or share a link to the podcast with somebody that you know and love. That being said, I want to thank you for spending time with me and have a terrific day.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.